खिलाफत के अमी हम हैं, अमानत हम संभालेंगे जो नेमत छिन।
वी बिलीव इन इक्वेलिटी ऑफ ह्यूमन बीइंग्स, इन द रूल ऑफ लॉ, एंड वी आर अगेंस्ट ऑल टाइप्स ऑफ ऑपरेशन।
Welcome to the MKA USA Vibe, run by Majlis Qudamul Ahmadiyya USA, America's oldest and largest Muslim male youth organization. We're here to share a weekly recap of the latest in Friday sermons, speeches, lessons from our respected imams, and wisdom from different sources.
गुलो जो हर बिखरते हैं।
अशहदु अन ला इलाहा इल्लल्लाह वहदहू ला शरीक ला व अशहदु अन्न मुहम्मदन अब्दुहू व रसूलुहू अम्मा बादु फऔज़ु बिल्लाहि मिनश शैतानिर रजीम। بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإذ قلنا للملائكة اسجدوا لآدم فسجدوا إلا إبليس أبا واستكبر وكان من الكافرين.
My dear brothers and sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. First of all, I'd like to beseech Allah that may Allah bless us all for partaking in this jalsa and being recipients of the prayers of the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Ameen. The verses that I just recited for you are from Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 35, in which Allah is reminding us of a time. It says, and remember the time when we said to the angels, submit to Adam, and they all submitted, but Iblis did not. He refused because he was too proud, and he was one of the disbelievers. My friends, to be proud, to be arrogant, is tantamount, according to the promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, to doing shirk. It is the greatest vice that one can possess that deprives one of the spiritual blessings of Allah. I also appreciate the irony of the subject matter, to think that I will stand here before you and tell you how to get rid of arrogance and vice. And I expect you, they'd be very arrogant of me to expect that I can impart that advice on you. Now, there's a verse in the Quran that reminds us and says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. Kabura maktan indallahi an taquluna ma la taf'alun. That, O ye who believe, why is it that you say that which you do not do? The most hateful thing in the sight of Allah is to say that which you do not do yourself. Now, arrogance and the issue of pride goes all the way back, as explained in the Quran by Allah, in the creation of Adam. And when the angels and Iblis were together told to submit, to prostrate and to support Adam. And out of pride and ignorance, Allah asked this question of Iblis later on. Allah said in Surah Al-Anfal, the 7th chapter of the Holy Quran in verse 13, he is having a conversation and he asks, the verse is, Qal, Allah said, Ma manaka Allah tasjudu is amartuk. That what is it, Iblis, that stopped you from submitting to Adam when I commanded you? And Iblis replies, Ana khairu min, that I am better than he. Khalaqtani min nar, you have created me from fire. Wa khalaqtahu min teen, and you have created Adam from dust. I am far superior to him in many ways, and that's just one of the ways. And all of the evils and injustices that the world faces today, the root cause can be summed up in a nutshell as this initial sin, the original sin, if you want to call it, that was committed by Iblis. All the ignorance, all the hatred, all the warfare, all the injustices can all be summed up in this one single attribute or one single vice of arrogance and pride. We as a nation are told you have rights. You should exercise those rights. You should speak your opinion. You should be asked about what you think. And even if you don't have knowledge, you should, you know, talk about those things. We as a nation are told to keep up, and we fall into this trap with the materialistic pursuits, keeping up with the Joneses, and it's all about the Benjamins and the bling. And that's something that has led us to greater trials and greater troubles. We are a people who are bent on consuming and buying things that we don't really need with money that we don't really have to please people that we don't really like. And that sums it up. Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha was asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about conditions of these type of people. And Hazur sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned, these are the people of Jahiliyyah. Now, we like to claim and we like to extol that, you know, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came 1400 years ago and the Arab Bedouin was the most jahil, was the most ignorant people of the times. But then again, we have to understand this is the principle of Allah, that he sends prophets to those people who are amongst the worst of the creatures of that time. And this says a lot about us as well, that we need this training and we need this imparting of this divine knowledge. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salatu wasalam, the promised Messiah alayhi salatu wasalam, talked about the arrogance that existed during his time, and we will go through certain analogies. One of the attributes Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentions is that an arrogant people are those who treat and who mete out punishments differently to the haves and the have-nots. So if you know somebody, you will get a preferential treatment. And if you don't know someone and you're poor and you're of a lower class, you will be treated as such. This is a sign of the people of arrogance and jahiliyyah. Now conversely, the opposite of arrogance and jahiliyyah is that of wisdom and aqil. This is the words that's used, wisdom. And if you read in the Holy Quran, Allah Ta'ala many times mentions the word qaleel, very few. Qaleel ma yashkurun, very few are those people who give thanks. Qaleel ma yaqilun, very few people are the ones who use rationale and humility and thought. Conversely, Allah Ta'ala uses the word aksarahum ghafilun, the many are amongst those who are unaware. So my dear brothers and my dear sisters, blessed are the few, and we should try to be amongst those few. We're not here to win a popularity vote.
We're here to be amongst those few who have actually traversed this path of humility and tranquility. Of all the things that destroy faith, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the hardest of all the things is to enter Jannah is, and he mentions it in a way which I can sum up, that whosoever has an atom's weight, مثقال ذرة, an atom's weight, من خردل, from a mustard seed of arrogance in their heart, shall never enter Jannah, shall never enter paradise. And whosoever has an atom's weight of a mustard seed of faith, من الإيمان, will enter Jannah. So you see this fine line, it's cutting hairs, it's splitting hairs. It's an atom's weight of this and an atom's weight of that. That could be a difference between success and failure. And it is thus that the promised Messiah writes that I tell you truly on the day of judgment, next after the association with anything with Allah, no vice shall rank higher than that as high as arrogance. This is a vice that humiliates both in this world and in the next. Divine mercy rescues every believer in divine unity except the arrogant one. Satan had also claimed to believe in the unity of God, but when he was tried and put to test, his arrogance took over, and he looked contemptuously upon Adam, whom God loved, and found fault with him. He was ruined and became the accursed. Thus, the very first sin whereby one was ruined was over arrogance. Aina Kamalat Islam, page 598. It is also interesting to mention that Hazrat Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about the conditions of the Day of Judgment. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam went through certain metaphorical representations, though, as everybody will be raised up and everybody will be stripped naked. When she heard this term, that everybody will be stripped naked, she looked at the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, Ya Rasulullah, will people be looking at each other's nakedness? And he replied to her query that's the last thing people will be thinking of on that day. That's the last thing people will be thinking of at that day, would be looking at each other's nakedness, because there's a far more greater thing that they're worried about, and that's the fate, whether they will be touched with the fire or they will receive the coolness of the heaven. So, my dear friends, the Quran is replete with examples. The example of Pharaoh, who himself said, I am God. Do you not see my kingdom? Do you not see the rivers that flow in Egypt? And when his life was being snatched away from him, his pleas and his cries, that is when Allah said, I will make you a sign for the nations who have yet to come. And today, you can see these signs. You can go and you can see this individual wrapped up in his mummified state, where he lay, people paying money to see his carcass as a sign of the truthfulness of one who claimed divinity, who claimed to be the God of gods, and yet where he lay, something tangible that you can see. See, the beautiful thing about Islam, my dear brothers, is that it's not just an empty theory anymore. It's not just something that we can speak about and asatirul awwaleen, stories of old. It is present, it is now, it is tangible. It is tried, tested, and true. The reason Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam writes that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam suffered the pangs and the arrows for a period of 23 years. I don't know if anybody's ever seen the movie, it was a movie about Jesus Christ, The Passion of the Christ. And that scene where he's walking through the gallows and the streets, people are whipping, throwing, he's bleeding. But if you think about it, the biblical prophet Jesus only suffered 2 to 3 years at the most. Our beloved Prophet ﷺ suffered at the hands of his enemies for over 23 years. And Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam writes that this was needed so that the Prophet ﷺ could be used as a model for us to follow. So it would be shame, it would be a great ingratitude on our part if we do not reflect on his life. You have heard so many analogies and anecdotes about the beautiful humility of the Prophet ﷺ. I just want to share a few. There's an incident that is recorded that when Islam was first starting out, there was an incident on that day that the Prophet ﷺ was occupied in prayer in the vicinity, in the precincts of the Kaaba. And during that time, in prostration, you had Abu Jahl and his henchmen laughing and jesting at what the Prophet ﷺ is doing. So, out of mischief, they thought, let's play a little prank on the Prophet ﷺ. And you know, back in the day, right now we have slaughterhouses, so when you slaughter an animal, the blood, the guts, everything, you don't get to see. But during those days, when you slaughtered an animal, the blood, the guts, all the feces were, and the entrails, were put in a pile. And think about this, the pile of dung and the entrails sitting in the hot sun of Mecca, boiling away the gnats and the maggots, and they decided, they told a few of their henchmen, you know, take this pile and place it on the back of the Prophet ﷺ while he's in prostration. And they did that. Hazrat Fatima, the young daughter of the Prophet ﷺ, saw this scene from afar. And she came, and she saw the condition of her father. And with her tiny hands, is pulling away the guts and the entrails and the feces with her own tiny hands. And you can see the tears shedding from her eyes. Any father... I am a father of three. It would be my pride would kick in. It would be my haughtiness that would kick in. When you see your child seeing you being disgraced like that, what would you do? Would you not retaliate or fight back? In the instance, he looked and wiped the tears away and said, "Oh Fatima, do not be in such state, for they do not know what they do." And this is the same Prophet of Allah who, when he had the chance to exercise his arrogance and exercise his pride and exercise his right to seek justice, his statement was, "La tasriba alaykum al-yawm," that this day there shall be no retribution taken upon you. My dear brothers, when you see scenes and sights like this in movies and you read about them in history, when a victory so grand has taken place, there needs to be a huge feast and a banquet to celebrate such a revolution. What was the feast and the banquet celebrated by our beloved Prophet ﷺ? He couldn't find any food. Where did he go? He went to his aunt's house. And what was his victory meal celebration? A dried piece of stale bread. Was there any sauce or any salan? No, there was some vinegar in a jar. And that was his victory meal. This was the example of our Prophet ﷺ. When you look at the life of Khoras or the Roman emperors, when they would celebrate victories, the pomp and circumstance, they would not leave any stone unturned. And this is the humility that was exercised by our beloved Prophet ﷺ. I'm running short of time. I've been only given 25 minutes. Many have spoken on this issue. Hazrat Masih Maud alayhi salam has said, you can, in a nutshell, you can read all the Quran that you want. You can pray all the salat that you want. You can do all the du'as that you want. But the last hurdle on this path of spirituality, before you can even begin to take a step in this path of spirituality, is removing the ego, is to killing the nafs, and to remove all traces of arrogance in our hearts. Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam states, arrogance is of many types. It sometimes emerges through the eye when a person looks contemptuously upon another, deeming himself his superior. Sometimes it emerges through the tongue, or through the head, or through the hands, or through the feet. In short, there are many sources of arrogance, and a believer should avoid them all. He should take care that no one of his limbs should even smell of arrogance or manifest it in any way. The Sufis have said that there are many types of low qualities inside a person, like evil spirits, and they continue to be expelled. You can expel all the evil spirits out of your body, but the last evil spirit to be expelled would be the evil of arrogance. It can be only expelled by divine grace, which is won through sincere striving and supplications in the way of Allah. What could be a greater manifestation of one's humility than to prostrate one's head on the ground? You see, my beautiful brothers, during the life of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, in the beginning, there were no beautiful carpets that we have here. There were no ornate, comfortable chairs that we share there. The ground was their masjid. One of the attributes that was given to the Prophet ﷺ was the entire earth has been made a masjid for you. And thus, when we do our sajda, and you see the dust on the forehead that you wiped away, those were the early days of Islam, my dear brothers and sisters. And that, when the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the sajda is the miraj of the mu'min, think about it. The height of spirituality is when you are at the least and the lowest. And if you could go any lower, my dear brothers and sisters, you would say, I would love to go lower. Where else in the world will you see parents proud to name their children slave? Right? Slave. Imagine if I called you a slave. You'd be like, what? I'm not a slave. My name is such and such. But we call ourselves, our children, we name them proudly, Abdullah, the slave of Allah. And this is the concept that we have to wrap our heads around, that in 2017, where you are judged by being the most bravado, by being the loudest and saying things that you have no knowledge of, just to be arrogant, you are credited. And the zamana of Jahiliya is now as well, where we treat people of different classes differently. Many persons, Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam writes, deem themselves humble, but they suffer some type of arrogance. You know, there's a beautiful person here today in this Jamaat. When I first came to the U.S., he said, out of jest, you know, I'm the most humblest person I know. And that was a very interesting thing. But Hazur is saying that even those who consider themselves humble, there is some type of arrogance. Therefore, one must seek to avoid the subtlest types of arrogance, which are generated sometimes by wealth. When a wealthy deems others misers, and when sometimes the arrogance is generated by caste. You know, I'm a Chaudhary. You're a Malik. What type of Malik? Kakizai. Oh, you know, this and that. These are the issues that Hazrat Masih Maud al-Islam came to remove, the caste system. Sometimes arrogance is generated by learning. You know, one of the most interesting things about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the ulama have discussed this issue. They said half of ilm, half of knowledge, is just saying, I don't know, or remaining quiet. Remember, there were times when the people would come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and ask questions about the afterlife. His first go-to answer was, what preparations have you made, right? Secondly, he would describe a few things here and there. But the most amazing statement he would say was, Wallahu alam. Allah knows best. And sometimes it's okay just to say, I don't know. And I address this to myself first. Now, as members of the Ahmadiyya Muslim community, let's get one thing straight. We have entered into a bath, right? An agreement of some sort. And that agreement holds 10 conditions. It behooves us to live up to those 10 conditions, because I'll tell you why in a second. The seventh condition of bath states that he or she shall enter and he or she shall entirely give up pride and vanity and shall pass his/her life in humbleness, cheerness, forbearance, humility, and meekness. And remember, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Al-haya min al-iman, that haya or modesty and humbleness is a great part of our faith. Now, arrogance and the contract that we've made with Allah through the promised Messiah al-Islam, I want to juxtapose it with a hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, where Haritha bin Wahhab narrates that I heard the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, may I tell you of the people of paradise? Would you like to know who the inhabitants of paradise are? Haris said, yes, please do. He said, every weak person, every poor and obscure person whom people look down upon, but his oaths are fulfilled by Allah. Why? Because that individual himself fulfills the oaths that he has made with Allah. This is one of the oaths, my dear brothers and sisters, we have made with Allah, is to remain humble, to remain meek as part of the conditions. If we fulfill this condition, Allah is guaranteeing, as according to the Holy Prophet ﷺ, you will inherit the paradise, and Allah himself will fulfill those oaths for you, yourself. I'm out of time. I have 59 seconds. So my humble prayer is first and foremost for myself and all of us, that may Allah enable us to fulfill our oaths and obligations, and may Allah enable us to recognize these fine lines that sometimes we feel that we're walking on, but in reality it's just a mirage. It requires us to be humble in spirit, to be observant of the rules and regulations laid out to us, because even not observing one rule out of the over 700 commandments in the Holy Quran is tantamount to arrogance, thinking that you know better or I know better. I don't need that to be applied on myself. It's very humbling, number one, and it's a very scary and hair-raising experience. So I thank you for the opportunity for speaking with you, and I really appreciate the fact that you all listened attentively. May Allah bless us all, and may Allah allow us to walk on the paths of humbleness and humility, which were the path of the Messiah who called himself Kirmikhaki, the ant or the insect of the earth. What could be more humbling than that? May Allah Ta'ala bless us all. Ameen.
خلیفہ کے لبوں سے جو گل و جوہر بکھرتے ہیں.
You've been listening to the MKA Vibe by Majlis Qudam al-Ahmadiyya USA, America's oldest and largest Muslim male youth organization. Subscribe to get more of our weekly recap of the latest in Friday sermons, speeches, lessons from our respected imams, and wisdom from different sources. Tweet us your ideas and thoughts at Muslim Youth USA.